From NM to AZ, they are back, baby. Welcome to the Dipped in Butter program with Kat and Wes.
Around episode 200, I might not give a fuck no more and all that shit.
I turned the wheel to the right this time. Turned the key backwards and went to start it again. Click.
Clearly, you're going to have to open your butthole up to a new doctor.
This is not a section of the podcast where I tell a lie. You should have given all the beans. The burgers, the BJs, all the beans. The buttholes, all the... Every Browns hat reminds me of my father-in-law. Rest in peace. So let's start the show. Welcome to the Dipped in Butter program. Good morning, good evening, happy Tuesday, happy Thursday, happy pod day, whatever that looks like for you. We hope to have found you in a good place. And when I say a good place, I don't mean like, we hope you're in a good place TikTok style. Like, I really hope that your shit is good, bro, and all your traffic lights are red and it ain't turning yellow just while you're like just too far to really stop and slow down and now you got to look around you. But I digress. That's not a lie. This is the place where you go to listen to lies. So get comfortable and get your ears ready to hear some lies. The best liar. That sounds terrible. My guy, my friend across from me, his name is Wes with no T. That's Forever Young 89. That's a motherfucking goddamn glue around here. That is the versus professional in filtering out extraordinaire. He will filter your conversation for free. He won't even charge you. That's our editor-in-chief, our producer extraordinaire. That's New Diddy downstairs. That's our friend. That's Wes. He's in the studio. He's happy to pod. He's ready to lie. What's going on, my guy?
Man, what the fuck is wrong with Reese? Why would Reese, like, text us mere hours before niggas is supposed to? He don't know what mode we be, like...
He's vindictive.
You know, but you know how niggas usually come here with a little drag? I want to thank you, Reese, because you primed the motor to get started today, y'all.
And sometimes we need it.
And you might, that might be your job from here on out, brother. Like, if you hear this, just go ahead and give niggas some inspiration. You could do it on Sundays, though. I don't know if I I mean, but whatever. You know what I'm saying? I appreciated the spirit. Not to digress too far into that with my guy across from me with the hottest takes in the United States. That is Kat K with two T's on the end of that thing. You can catch my man over at youtube.com/dippedinbutterprogram where I trust him in the comments. At this point, I'm no longer having nightmares about it. It is what it is. That's my dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever he do, I got him. And it just is what it is. But most and more importantly, you can catch my mans over here each and every Tuesday, whichever day is pod day in your life, which is more special to us if we've never made that clear. Like, Tuesdays is when we put this out. Pod day in your life is when we want you to listen to it. Yeah, I mean, because we respect how people listen to podcasts. But right here on the Dipped in Butter program, wherever podcasts are placed, because that's where this one goes. Big money out in Chicago and in San Fran. Slim Jim right here on the pod, GYM, if you know, you know. My nigga and yours, what it do, ski?
Trill working the wheel. A pimp, not a simp. Keep them dope fiends hired in the Goodyear blimp. We eat so many shrimp. What the fuck is iodine poisoning, bro?
Iodine, it's the shit that's inside of, like, it's like mercury poisoning, I believe, honestly, if you want
to
just keep it.
Is that exclusive to eating too many shrimps?
I think it's seafood, period.
Do we know?
I think it's seafood, period.
It's a seafood thing?
Yeah, it's like, and I believe, if I'm correct, no, that was mercury, too. So it got to be related to mercury.
Mercury related. I know mercury is dangerous from, like, the science studying I've been doing lately. I know mercury is not something you really want to play around with.
Nah, my brain started thinking about the Mad Hatter, like from Alice in Wonderland. Supposedly, that's what's off.
That was mercury. Yeah, it got him tweaking. For sure. And you know what? And that reminds me of acid and shit too, right? And like, so, Red Lobster's Endless Shrimp is on. So we went. We did our duty as niggas.
I want to say a lot to you, and I want it all to start with my brother. I want to.
My brother. Which is worse, showing up to Endless Shrimp or dating a white bitch? which one is gonna give me the longer? What do you call it, lecture?
The white bitch is gonna get you longer.
It's gonna give me a longer lecture, but the Endless Shrimp, like, come on, dog, it's we can right, be better.
Right next to it.
I don't know if I'm going to make enough money in my lifetime to not want Red Lobster. Like, I don't know if I'll ever be rich enough to not want Red Lobster.
Okay. No, you should be right now already. Because if
I know I should be. I should be in the bracket, but I still want it.
Yeah, because what you do a really good job of disguising on this podcast is, you know, we had the Level Up conversation. We spent like 6 weeks on the Level Up because we still have it, you know, here and there now. But like, it's just a constant part of this podcast, right? And like, niggas don't be talking that brokey shit for real over here. Like I be watching you. You be doing stuff.
You be noticing like, little mannerisms intend to come off.
Yeah. By my calculations, if I carry the one, like you doing better than me, and I know how I be talking. So like,
well, here, okay. So my wife had mentioned to me that it was on, so she's still nigga with me. Like, so we still niggas. You know what I'm saying? Mean, so she's like, hey, it's on.
You know, to each his own when it comes to the couples, right? Like, y'all got that thing that y'all look at each other and be like, oh, we're definitely still fucking with that. Like,
but we've been trying to diet around the house and shit. So she eats a lot of salmon around the house. That's her meal prep. My meal prep is usually chicken or whatever. So when it comes to the weekends, we try to like eat the little shit that we don't eat during the week, right? Because we're not that family no more. We don't fucking hit McDonald's on the way home and shit like that no more. That's not us. So we wait till Friday, bro. Saturday, Sunday to eat like trash.
I don't want to cut you off, right?
Of course.
But the baby's birthday was last week, right? She turned 7. And in the spirit of birthdays, you know what I'm saying? We stop and we do the McDonald's thing. It's not something
nothing
that
wrong
we
with McDonald's regular. Kids.
Yeah, but that's what the baby wanted on her birthday. We're going to stop and we're going to get the McDonald's.
What does she get? Is she a nuggets baby or a sandwich baby?
She's actually a hamburger baby. She's a no cheese. Like, if you put cheese on her burger.
She want a 1957, 37-cent ass cheese.
Pickles and ketchup only, nigga. No cheese. If you put cheese. She want
a founder's favorite.
Burgers, hell yeah. Like, no extra bullshit. Like, if you put cheese on my baby's burger,
I like it.
Fucking day. And she not gonna eat it. Like, she's not gonna scrape it off. She's not gonna tolerate it. Like, she don't even want the burger. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we stop, we get the burgers again. Kids is just fascinated with the box that Happy Meals come in and the shit that come in.
They're fire. Like, gotta get McDonald's. I love a Happy Meal box.
Please,
they're tight.
Please keep your story. Like, I know you was on meal prep using this shit. No. It's important to me, but this is important. You be bringing up shit that I don't even think we're gonna talk about. That's why it's so stupid to me. But like, when I tell you, bro, this is probably the most disgusting meal I've ever had in my life. And, like, not disgusting to the point of I can't eat this because, like, I was hungry. So, of course,
like, I'll finish it, but I ain't happy.
I grew up on McDonald's in the 90s. I'm always going to be, like, accustomed to eating this shit.
I can get it down. But what I'm telling you is I'm not going to circle back around.
Like, literally, when I finished it, looked at my wife and said, babe, that was gross. Like, and I almost can't believe that. No, this is the last one. Like, we had to tell the kid, like, and you want to know what it sent me into? This is how I know I'm right. I asked these kids, I said, y'all don't even know the importance of McDonald's. I said, let me ask you this. Who's Ronald McDonald's? My kids looked at me and said, what? I said, exactly.
You don't even know who's selling
you know
these.
That McDonald is a fucking person. Like, this is a representation of, you know, what's going on. I said, if I pull up a picture of Ronald McDonald right now, y'all think y'all can point him out?
They're going to start laughing and pointing at that nigga. Like, hey, look at this. Like, bro, he's cooking your food. That to me goes in line with one of my favorite memes I've told you in the podcast before, that I love the internet meme that goes, they really named a whole nigga after a pair of shoes. Like, bro, Michael Jordan is the shoes. Like, bro, they really named the nigga after shoes.
Shit is nasty. So, like, and then, like, what really sent me over the top, right, go through the drive-thru, order the food, do the thing, right? After I finished ordering the food, that bitch told me, like, 5231, nigga. And I was taken aback. Like, when did McDonald's become this expensive? And then I got to, like, first of all, I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast, but that's, like, to feed the family is a certain price range, right? So if after you've ordered the food for the entire family and they finish pressing all their buttons on the machine and they say anywhere between $50 and $58, you have successfully fed the family. Like, sometimes it's a little bit more depending on what happens, but like $50 to $58, it doesn't even matter what they're going to give you at that point. They could be wrong, but bitch, if you gave me the right price, I know it's something here to feed the whole family and I'm cool with that. So like, after she told me that and I got to thinking about all the like better quality shit that I can get for the same price, it really lent to, you know, the fact that we're not doing the Mickey D's no more.
Your mind really started going to Christmas mode right then and there. Like, you really started thinking, like, bro, we could be taking these trips. Like
I felt like just 6 months ago, nigga, this was just a $32 trip. Like, and I get it. Maybe, I mean, one more Happy Meal added $18 more is crazy. Like, this is nuts.
Well, I hate to go old man yells at cloud, but you being real, like, they don't have no value members. They got value meals no more. They got numbers. Like, you can say a number that makes the teenager put it in the register faster, but saying give me a number 8 don't save you no money. Like, the number 8 is legitimately the sandwich plus the fries plus the drink. Yes. They're not knocking $2 off because you put it in a combo no more. They're nigga, we charging you a la carte plus fries plus Sprite, plus nigga. Like, plus tax. Bro, the fact that they can tax fast food is wild.
You know what fucked me up? When they put A, B, and C options under one number. Like, you can get a double quarter pounder.
This is number three, but this is the B.
With bacon. Yeah, let me get the B version. Like, I don't even know how to order that properly. That shit sounds fucking stupid, you know what I'm saying? So, like, we can walk out of McDonald's and we can go right back into Red Lobster. I apologize for that.
Because where are we at? We at Fuddruckers or not? So that's why me and her got excited, because I know we should be getting excited to go to Papa Do's at least. But we do still get excited about Red Lobster. And when Babe said, now, my wife didn't even hit me with the "are you going to take me to Red Lobster's" type shit. She just was notifying me that, hey, babe, Endless Shrimp is on. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do we need to go? And she was like, I think we need to go. Now,
no cap, I'm not going front of you. Endless Shrimp is enticing, right? As the nigga in me, that's where you lose the tug of war, because it's like, I can have a lot of
going on a regular Tuesday. Yeah, we're going on a regular Tuesday and going during Endless Shrimp is two different things.
I can have a lot of it. Okay.
Well, see, here's the thing, and I'm glad you said that, because it's like, when we decided we was going to go, we like, bet, because it'll be a little experience. Now, we always evaluate our trip to Red Lobster, particularly because our closest Red Lobster is about an hour away in Santa Fe, and there's only one in Santa Fe. So we know that their service at that one restaurant ain't the greatest. It's basically like back home when you order Donato's. You know they got the best pizza on the block, but they got the worst service in the streets. Like, you know that off dribble. So in order to get your pizza and your Big Don sub, you might almost got to fight it, niggas. That kind of shit.
And bro, again, I'm not diverting. I'm just adding a statement right here. And maybe you feel me on this because you live in the Southwest like I do. But you know what's the most disappointing thing about living in a small town?
What's that?
A new restaurant opening.
Oh, it's going to be packed for months and months and months and months and months.
Not only that, but 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a Mexican restaurant. You'd be like, how many more?
How many more tortillas?
How many more fucking restaurants do we need? What different are y'all serving around here?
How much rice and beans can you put on side of this? State.
Like, I'm beefing with the Department of Commerce in the town right now, fam, because it's like, y'all don't want to deny some of these niggas because we need more chicken wings?
And
like,
what's wild is they all be good. This is the thing that's wild that most of y'all might not know that don't live out here and, like, got to get y'all Southwestern corn and beans flavor from us. We not saying these all these restaurants ain't good, because they're all good food.
Usually. Yeah.
But that's the thing, like, to me, and this is not a diss, Mexican food and Mexican sit-down restaurants, to me, are all B-tier food. B-tier food is a high tier. It ain't the highest tier. It's two steps down from A and S. But all Mexican sit-down restaurants, to me, are B-tier food. So I could go to Sopapilla Factory. I could go to Rigoberto's. I could go to all of these places and have just the same amount of happiness. But what they can't do is give me the Long John Silver's experience that's going to put a smile on my face.
Right.
They just can't do it. And it's like, okay, so going back to Red Lobster.
Yes.
I knew the experience was going to be weird because, like, the service be weird sometimes, the food take too long to come sometimes. And you know me, I've already complained to y'all about not liking to sit down at the table and wait for the food. Then wait for a refill. Then wait for the check. Then wait to pay the check. Then wait for them to bring my card back. Like, dog, after I eat, I want to fucking leave. If I could pay when you take my order, I would. Like, they should all have the little screens.
If you think about it, it's the same reason we've had that conversation here. Like, I hate spending more time doing something else than the purpose of me actually being here. So, like, cooking. Yes. I hate the fact that I spent 20 minutes fucking cooking and I devoured this shit in 7.5 minutes. Like, that's a part of the satisfaction. I'm not so satisfied because I feel like I wasted a little bit of time, but I did some good for myself.
Yeah, it's too much even take. Like,
same thing. I spent 45 minutes in this restaurant, 28 minutes of it was waiting on you motherfuckers, and now I'm ready to go.
Yeah. And I'll tell you that when we got there to the restaurant, I'll have to report that I was pleasantly surprised.
That's a revelation. They make us pay to wait. That's nuts.
That just clicked to you. Whoa. That might be your last time sitting down.
You saw
too.
Me, bro. You just see that happen.
It's your last McDonald's and your last sit down restaurant all in 1 week, bro. You're really like turning into like, bro, you're about to not leave the house ever again real soon. Think about to be flip flops, man.
Every time my wife cooks something from a restaurant that we frequent, I'd be like, well, there's no need to go there anymore.
That off the list. You found out how to make it. Bro, so you fuck around and make them cheddar bays, bro. It's like, what are we going for? You can fry shrimp already.
And is she going to make them or is she going to make them from scratch?
From the box. We already said. from box. So, okay. We got there and the lady that was waiting our table was a good waitress. So I was already pleasantly surprised. I'm like, oh shit, she kind of killing it. Like, you know, we had been waiting for days to come to Red Lobster, so we already knew what we wanted. So she was like, are y'all ready? And I was like, yeah, I think we are ready to order. On the drink order, she was already taking. So I'm already happy that I don't have to wait for you to circle back around with the Diet Cokes before I can put my order in.
Was y'all looking at the menu online, or do you just got like muscle memory?
I got a thing. I get the ultimate feast every time. Exactly. Yeah, I don't give a fuck what the special is. Yeah, endless shrimp or not, I'm getting the ultimate feast. And now they have it where you can like pick what you want on your ultimate feast. So instead of getting crab legs and having shit all over the place, I get a steak.
You know the ultimate feast is nothing but the all-star breakfast of Red Lobster, right? Like
1,000% is the all-star grand slam. It's the grand slam of Red Lobster. It is definitely Red Lobster's grand slam, and I'm happy to participate in it every fucking time. And my wife got the endless shrimp that she was wanting because she likes the shrimp linguine or whatever you call it, or you know, with the white sauce and shit like that. She gets that, and she gets scampi, and then she'll get like coconut shrimp, and they let you start with three, and then they bring you as much as you want, right? So food came out hot and quick and satisfactory. The food was tasting good and shit. And as she was bringing over the last plate from our entrees, she pulled her little tablet out and was like, can I get you two more shrimps ready? Before my wife had even put a single shrimp in her mouth, she was like, can I put you in an order for two more of your endless? And she was like, my wife put her tongue in the roof of her mouth. I saw it in slow motion. This is how I'm able to tell you this. My wife put the tongue in the roof of her mouth to form the word no. And I was like, yes, she does want to put in two more orders.
100%.
Let me take over here because I know you probably don't want more shrimp, but we're about to start ordering shrimp for the table.
We haven't more shrimp.
As soon as I said yes, you knew where I was going. Like, okay, this nigga want to get shrimp on my tab. The waitress knew. Everybody knows how this works, right? So I'm like, bring us out some waltz. Bring us out some scampi.
We about to have all the shrimp.
We about to have shrimp all over the table.
In this motherfucker, we got every shrimp that they offer up in this bitch.
And it certainly made me feel better because the waitress was cool with it. Like, she was ready to go. She wasn't doing the...
It's not her shrimp. She shouldn't act no type of way.
It's not her shrimp. Exactly. Thank you. Fast forward to the end of the story. It's not her shrimp. Bro, she was taking an order. She was like, now, do you want a single or you want a double? I'm like, a double order? Hell yeah. Double order of waltz, double order of scampi. She's bringing so much shrimp out. I'm looking like, all right, we might got iodine poisoning soon. Cameron's eating shrimp. I'm eating shrimp. Donovan's eating shrimp. The shrimp falling on the floor. The shrimp everywhere. And then they got to be a point where we had so much shrimp on the table. I started asking Donovan in real time, like, how much is a good tip? Because I have to tip this lady, like, low-key through the roof. Now, I'm not the celebrity tip-ass nigga. Like, I'm not leaving nobody $100. Like, I respect people that do that, but I'm not the, like, oh, I want to leave $100 and then go outside and look through the window and watch her see that I left $100-ass nigga. Like, I'm not that guy.
It depends. I might got to discover you, like, the daughter of an old friend that I ain't seen in, like, forever. And
You can get the hundo for that.
On the regular, again, I hate to, like, rehash conversations. You know how I feel about tipping these days. So
I know. I'm kind of with you.
I only do it because I be with my wife, and she don't be trying to hear that.
She don't like that.
but if it's
in this instance, in this instance, she took such good care of us, I was excited to tip. I was genuinely excited to tip. Like, I was already asking, before we was even done eating, I'm asking my wife, like, babe, what's doing too much? And I started asking, like, how much do we normally spend when we come to Red Lobster? Like, what does the meal normally cost? So I can start putting in my head how much I need to be thinking about tipping already. And she, you know, doing quick math in her head, like, well, you get the ultimate feast. I usually get this. And probably about $80-$85 probably by the time we get out there. I'm like, okay. So I'm already thinking, like, okay, well, you know, $20, $30 tip, whatever. So, but it started getting me to thinking, like, as a husband, father, right, family head, protector and leader, protector of relationship and feelings and everything, all the above. Mm-hmm. What's doing too much on the tip, though? Like, is there such thing as doing too much on the tip? And what I mean by doing too much is, like, say I'm saying the meal is good and the service is good, right? And I done said to my wife, like, more than three times, like, she's taking good care of us, babe. All right, now she's taking good care of us, babe. And then now, like, I done wrote $50 on the tip. At what point do you think, like, your wife will be looking at you like, all right, nigga, like, what the fuck is this? Like, what are you doing? Even a thing? Or am I making something up in my head? Is that not a thing?
I mean, we talked about leveling up and doing well. I don't think any of us are doing that well. You want to overtip a motherfucker. And again, like, you know, for me, it's all about percentages, right? So, like, if we spend $80, like, maybe 50% is, like, cool. And again, like, maybe there's more to it. So, like, I could see the line of doing too, like, I think at most, depending on the situation, because I don't even see getting away with it. But again, you got to be in some type of situation to be able to give, I guess, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, just be feeling good about yourself. But, like, if you got an $80 bill and you want to leave an $80 tip because the service was that fly, I think that's cool.
Yeah, I think that's kind of fly.
Like, and particularly if, like, you went out and you planned on spending $200 and your shit came in low. Like, you want to know what? I'm going to go because the service was that fly. Like, you held me down. Like, the food was good. Everything was straight. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I think if you tip more than what the bill was, now we tripping.
If you go over the bill, I think, like, now yeah, you think you Roscoe Dash, bro. Like, do you think you're Roscoe Dash? And it's like, oh, they recognize that's Roscoe.
And if I'm going over the bill, I'm like, now I'm starting to look at my seat, and then I'm starting to look at how clean the silverware is, and I'm definitely leaning back
and looking in the crevice of the booth, like, bro, there's, like, too many crumblets in here. This ain't no
private room that I didn't sit in the kitchen and eat my meal. Like, what, you know, what is we talking about around here? So, like, I think that might be toeing the line, but I think you could, again, like, 50% of a bill, or, you know, matching the bill, I think is fly, depending on what's going on. So, like, I'm cool with that.
But I ended up tipping 30 on, like, an $85 bill. So is that, like, standard, or was that, like, me showing that you did a good job and I appreciate it?
I think that's you did a good job. And
okay, because that's what I wanted to convey. Like, I said, took good care of us, and we appreciate it.
Doing quick math, like you say, 20% is, you know, probably pretty standard, 20-25%. So $80, you're talking about $16-$20, you know what I'm saying, on a standard. So, like, $30 is the...
Give you the little cheat sheet at the bottom of the receipt. Like, okay, if you want to tip 20%, it'll be about this.
Yeah, $30 is, like, I'm probably going to remember your face when you come back in here the next time. Because, matter of fact, me and my wife did that to some dude somewhere. I forget where we was at, but, like, we gave him the motherfucking, you know, I think we might have paid cash that day. We gave him, but he was like, you know, we was like, we don't need no change. He was like, oh, shit, dude. Like, he was...
Well, my name is Kelvin.
No, for real, bro. For real, he did that shit. He was like, yeah, my name is this and that, man. Y'all come back through, like, look for me. Like, that's what's up.
We had one of them back at Texas Day Brazil back in Columbus. That's my favorite restaurant all time, Texas Day Brazil. And we had a little waitress that took good care of us, and we only got to get her back maybe two or three times before that was over. And I was just like, damn, she took good care of us back in the day. It kept us balls coming.
Yeah, bro, I'm a big service person, like, and I may have spoken on this before, but, like, it was when I kind of first moved out here and I got into the whole dispensary shit and trying to figure shit out, like, it was I don't even want to call it a chick, she was a lady, because she was older than me, but, like, she was cool down at the dispensary I would go to, and she would really, like, I don't want to say look out for me, but, like, she was just nice, she was my kind of person to, like, converse.
She was serviceable.
And, like, she was serviceable, like, and particularly when she gave me the game, like, hey, like, when you come down here, like, when you check in, like, ask them if I'm here, and, like, if I'm here, tell them you want to see me, and, like, I would when I went down there, and, like, I think the last couple of times that I went down there, like, I would ask for her, and she wasn't there, and I was like, hey, dude, like, she's still working, and it was like, no, I stopped going, because, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was coming, because it's out of the way, for real. Like, I could be going other places.
That but you're going to see your people.
I'm coming down here to come see my peoples, and, like, she not here no more, then,
That made you a little sad, didn't it?
It did. I was like, yeah, I'm not going
to
come down here.
She didn't even hit me to tell me where she was going.
Yeah, because then it was giving me the vibes, like, it wasn't a happy-go-lucky she not here no more. It was she ain't here. Fuck y'all then.
Fuck, I'm gonna give y'all my business then. I fuck with her, nigga.
Yeah, I fuck with her. I ain't fucking with y'all, so fuck y'all.
Yeah, bro. That customer service and shit, the older you get, not that it didn't always matter, but I think the older you get and the more you get to paying attention to your money, right? Like, not to get on some financial shit, but really, like, starting to pay attention where your dollars are going. That's your McDonald's conversation, right? Like, damn, for $67.97, nigga, I really could have cooked these hamburgers and had some meat left over a little bit and had some buns. So you really start kind of tracking where your dollars is going, and do people appreciate where your dollars is going, even if there isn't an exchange of currency. I had a situation last week where there was no exchange of currency, and I think sometimes that non-buffer fucks up customer service. And let me tell you what I'm talking about. I got a call from a 505 number that wasn't stored in my phone while I was on the elliptical machine, and I started to not answer it. But I was like, I don't normally get 505 spam. All my spam comes from Ohio. All my fake numbers and my scams come from 614 numbers and 330s. So anytime I get a 505, it's actually somebody in New Mexico trying to get a hold of Lamar. Oh,
yeah, not for you. I definitely answer local numbers.
Yeah, I got to answer 505.
I don't know nobody out here.
So, yeah, so I'm like, damn, I hope I don't fall off this fucking elliptical machine while I'm answering the phone, because I don't really talk on the phone, like, with it up against my ear on the elliptical. Glove will call me when I got the earbuds in and we'll talk or some shit like that. But other than that, not really. So I pick up the phone, and it's a lady on the phone, and she's like, this is such and such from such and such doctor's office calling to confirm your doctor's appointment. Does such and such time and date work? And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, all in the opening sentence, she said who she was, where she was from, and does this date work? And I had to, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, hold on, slow down. I was like, is this the main doctor's office? And she said, yeah. And I was like, thinking to myself, like, I don't remember scheduling no doctor's appointment. And then I started asking her, I can tell she's trying to get me to just say yes and confirm so she can get off the phone. Because it was later now.
She asked your ass to somebody else.
Mind you, I was at the gym. So this is obviously late afternoon. This was after work for me. And I was already like, why the fuck is the doctor's office calling me this late in a weekday afternoon? You know what I mean? So she was trying to get out of there. So she's trying to get me to hurry up and just say, yeah, I confirm. But I was like, hold on, who is this? What day and what time? I'm trying to look at my calendar on my phone and see if this works. It's a Tuesday afternoon as schedule, right? And I'm like, I'm trying to tell her, like, Tuesdays don't work for me. I thought I told y'all, since this is the doctor's office, I'm literally saying this, like, I think I told y'all that Fridays is best for me. Mm-hmm. And she was like, no, we're not open on Fridays. We only do Mondays and Tuesdays. And then I asked again, I said, is this the main Los Alamos Hospital or is this a specialist? And she was like, no, this is the specialist. This is the specialist I call from going to the emergency room on January 1st, Wes.
I mean, yeah, that's typically how they work.
They're just now getting to me, which, yeah, okay.
13-week behind-ass niggas.
Everybody in Los Alamos knows that doctors are all backed up here. If you want to see a doctor right away, you need to drive all the way to Santa Fe or even Albuquerque.
Not even, bro. Me and my wife made doctor's appointments in January. It's like, because now we live out here, we need doctors out here, nigga. Neither one of us got an appointment until April, nigga.
It's still bad, bro. And it's nothing but old people live in Los Alamos, and they take priority over everybody for whatever reason. They about to die. I don't know why they're so important. Maybe they're so important because they pay their bills.
I swear to God, bro, you so stupid. I said that to my wife. I said, I'm gonna call over there and be like, hey, it ain't
got any open slots from dead niggas.
One of these niggas die, y'all better call.
Is it not the same thing? Is it not the same thing as calling a hotel last minute and seeing if there's vacancies? Is it not the same thing?
One of these niggas die or cancel, y'all better call me and see if
call me, put me on the death list.
And like, I got, not only did I get like a 3 month out appointment, it's at the end of the motherfucking day, nigga. I'm probably the last appointment, nigga. If I show up 5 minutes late, nigga, that the blinds might be closed. The door might
be putting you real close to the end of the fiscal year now, nigga. So, but she was trying, she had like a little attitude and she's trying to get me to hurry up and confirm. And I was trying to explain to her, I said, Fridays work for me. She said, we don't do Fridays, we only do Mondays and Tuesdays. And I was like, well, never mind. You can go ahead and hang on up because I think we're done here. And
doesn't it feel like you're just crumbling up your health and throwing it in the trash when you got to turn down the doctor? The
doctors are like, I don't care about my well-being. I clearly do. Y'all have heard so many stories about my butthole. I clearly want to be able to poop on my own. So I clearly care. Own. But what I'm now about to do is let you talk to me crazy and just tell me what I am and ain't going to do as a grown fucking adult. Like, she's trying to tell me when I'm going to be at the doctor. Like, bitch, you ain't the only specialist in this state. So I kind of had an attitude. I immediately got on the phone with my wife and told her what happened. And she was like, no way. And I'm like, yeah. Like, and I think it brings me back to why I originally started the story. It's like, because at the doctor, there's no actual physical money exchanging hands because everything is auto paid through your job insurance or covered through your health care. So no actual, I mean, under unless you pay in cash copay sometimes. There's not a lot of hand-to-hand with you and your doctor. So your doctor just be like...
There shouldn't be no hand-to-hand with you and your doctor. There really shouldn't.
Well, thing, like, unless you're like Eminem and you need pills. But like other than that, there's not a lot of hand-to-hand. But like I think that's part of why like there's less care and less customer service when you go to the doctor's office and why it allows for these kind of things to happen because it's like... They just the check get cashed for them either way it goes.
For sure.
So I think that they just sometimes don't be giving a fuck, bro. And you gotta it's like you with the barber, you gotta build a personal relationship with your doctor so you can get taken care of the way you wanna be taken care of. And I don't like that shit, bro. I really came on here to ramble about not liking that shit.
I mean, honestly, it's the same thing as kind of, and I don't wanna call it the no new friends theory, but like it's the same thing.
No new doctors neither.
I mean, like, because you got to build this type of relationship, right? And it's like, I already kind of had this set already. And like, in the same vein of I don't want to meet no new people and hang out with them, I really don't want to have to re-explain my problems to you because, again, in my brain, you're the doctor. Like, y'all should have did y'all's due diligence to get all my fucking medical records. You should have had to take my shit home like homework and study the night before I got here to figure out what the fuck was wrong with
me.
That's
what I want.
When you see me,
I want them to study my body at home.
We can have a continuing care conversation, right? Because now you're a part of my continuing care team because this goes back to when I was fucking born, my nigga. Like, if they can find that nigga and get him in a conference room, like, y'all all need to put y'all's little brains together and figure out how to, you know, keep me alive if that were to be the case at the end of whatever. But like, now I gotta come in here and tell you everything that's wrong with me and what I'm on and what I'm doing every day and what I ain't doing.
Bro, having to tell your doctor what medicines you take is some of the wildest shit in the world, bro.
I filled it out on the form already, bro. Did you not read
it? Is that not like taking ketchup to McDonald's?
Certainly. No, it's like taking your own burger to fucking McDonald's and being like, I'm gonna just sit over here in the corner and use y'all's ketchup. Like, this is fucking stupid. Like,
why are you asking me what pills I take? I get them from you. Like, I get them from you. Wrote the paper for me to get them.
Yeah, they're telling me you got to prescribe them now, nigga. So, like, ain't an explanation in there? They couldn't have just wrote, I started taking these for nothing in there. Like, you have to know better.
So I guess for now, seeing a stomach specialist is out of the question. Because I'm not about to deal with all of this shit. Not, at least not right now. Maybe I'll try again later this year. Like, but I've been taking over the counter shit that's been helping. So I'm all right now.
See, that's I see. Black man, no. I'm gonna stop you. You need. When was they trying to set the appointment for?
April, end of the fiscal year, just like you.
I mean, you got 5 weeks to get your life together to go to the doctor on a Monday. Well, and you off on? Well, you're not off on Mondays. You off on?
Friday. Well, no. The thing is, in April, the dates that they was trying to give me, I have a very important thing going on in my job. Basically, we'll call it an audit. Like, you know how you have, if you work commerce, you'll have audit, and then it's really important. The higher ups are going to come down and count all the Jordans in the back room, and you better not be missing none, or everybody's in trouble. We kind of got that going on in April, so I can't take no time off in these certain blacked out dates. So I just already knew, like, butthole or no butthole, I wouldn't take no.
And I do understand that, and they gotta, you know, they gotta be able to, you know, work around that if necessary.
They weren't even trying to. I think if they had a better attitude about trying to work with me, I probably would have worked. But she was like,
they gotta have some later dates available, right? And if not, like, we need to find a different specialist. But also at the same time, like, if they don't, like, you need to go to your boss and you need to be like, hey, cuz, like, what if I don't make it to these audits because my guts bust the morning that this shit was supposed to happen?
Imagine how late I'm gonna be if I die.
Yeah, like, you got to imagine that. So somebody got to understand somewhere along the way, like, maybe you need to play the episode for your doctor about when you were, for your boss from when you went to the ER, how treacherous that was.
And I'm trying to remember how painful it was as a reminder, right? Because it's so hard, it's so easy for us to be separated from the moment to forget how big the moment really was in that moment. Because that was, that was terrorizing, bro. Like, I was really, really sad.
200 plus episodes, that was the first time I almost walked off this podcast.
Like, it was bad, bro.
It was bad.
That was real, real bad. Now, I think I ever
I tried to pod from the ER, nigga, but like, I don't, whose situation is worse? Mine at this point. Like, I don't know.
That shit was real bad. So I'm trying, you know, I'm staying on top of it. I'm paying attention to my body. I'm not ignoring my body. You know what I mean? Right. And I'm taking what I can for it. And I do want to see a specialist, but
you have a primary care physician, don't you? Like, you
I
have
do.
A regular doctor.
But so she knew, bro. Like, I lost my old doctor that was getting to know me, and she news. I mean,
that's, but you got more rapport with her than these people that's just calling your phone trying to bully you.
I do, but she sent me to them. She sent me to them.
You gotta tell on them. You gotta tell her. You gotta call them. Be like, hey,
I wasn't feeling that one. You got another one?
Hey, I mean, you gotta explain it in like not professional terms, but you gotta be like, hey, the only thing that they have available doesn't work for me. So, like, is there a difference?
What else? Or can you look back there?
Because essentially, I believe, like, that's what happened to me. Like, and it makes me, not that it makes me wonder, but, like, the specialist that the ER doctor referred me to when I went through my shit, like, he gave me the referral for this doctor. And when they called me to schedule the appointment, they were like, hey, like, I can get you in with this doctor. But kind of the same situation. Like, this nigga ain't available until June, nigga. My shit was in September. Like, well, I can't wait till fucking June to see nobody. So it was like, but this other babe, she's available. You know what I'm saying? In a couple, so I had to end up seeing.
But you didn't feel like you were standing in the middle of the park. You didn't feel like you were standing in the middle of the barber shop and your barber had six waiting and then the one dude had an empty chair and you just knew the reason his chair was empty?
It just felt like a first appointment. I guess it felt like a first appointment, no knowledge, like new bar. I just moved to this area. This barbershop looks cool. I'm about to walk in and survey the set. Like, I guess that's what it was. And again, for me, I guess I felt like I didn't have no option, right? And that's the kind of shit that I hate. Like, you ask me these questions and either the answer is, yeah, I'm cool, or no, I'll fucking die. Like,
yeah, no. Like, why are these my choices?
Why are these my choices? So, like, again, like, whoever, and again, maybe that was somebody that was just calling you from that specific doctor's office versus a scheduling person who can kind of see across the board everybody who specializes in that shit. Because then she'd be like, okay, well, we have another doctor who's, you know, able to see you maybe sooner or later, but on a day that, you know, kind of accommodates whatever you need. So I would double check back on that, friend.
Okay. Thank you for the support. Yeah. I'm gonna do the right thing. We got to be more like girls in the way we support each other. Right. Sure. See, not all the way like them, but like a little bit more like them, bro. Because bro, the manosphere.
If you see something, say something,
bro. The manosphere is fucked, bro. Like, rest in peace, Kevin Samuels. He was like the best one we had, and a lot of y'all niggas just be talking, bro. Like, some of these podcasting ass niggas and shit, like, they be thinking they doing niggas a service by like sticking up for men, and some of y'all niggas just be setting us back and making us sound stupid, bro. Did you get on your fucking algorithm the dude that was talking about like he was dating a chick that had a BBL and BBL stink? Like, she had a stinky BBL or some shit. Did you see this?
Was nigga was talking in the car or something stupid like
talking
that?
Talking in the car or something stupid
and like
that.
Yeah, go on ahead. Let's talk about it. Cause like, he didn't even look like, but like, what type of nasty BBL? All right, go ahead.
So yeah, for those of y'all that might not have the algorithm that we have, because ours is simultaneously disgusting.
I don't know why stupid shit comes across my time, but this is why.
I don't know why it comes across. And then sometimes I look at me like, why I click that? Like, why the fuck I click that? So dude is in his car explaining like, laughing. And I'm starting to be so over these niggas reaching for content, bro. That's just so content thirsty. He's sitting in his car. He's explaining like, man, I was dating this girl. She had a BBL and she was thick, right? And everything. She was bad or whatever. And we went out on a date and blah, blah, blah. The date went good. And she invited me to her house. And she's like, what you want? What you want after this? And he like, I mean, it's whatever. And we get back to her crib and the vibes is right for a nightcap and this, that. And she like, I want to dance for you. And you're like, bet. So he's already telling the story like this nigga is just like Don Magic Wand and bitches to throw the pussy at him. Nowhere in the story has he had to work for any of the pussy. She's just throwing everything at him, right? So then she's like, I want to dance for you. Let me put on something sexy and dance for you. I don't know where this happens at, but whatever. I'm following the story. And he's like, she puts on something sexy and starts dancing. And I guess the BBL starts flopping around. And he said that the BBL stunk. And here's where I South African style sucked my teeth. The nigga said she started smelling funny, so I stopped her and I was like, hey babe, you know, I hate to be rude, but it just don't smell so fresh down there and you might want to do something about that. And I was like, okay, bro, I'm so sick of niggas making up lies. Like, this sounded so much like a lie to me, I couldn't even bear it. And then now I can't even look the nigga in the face through my phone because I'm like, he sounds like a liar, bro. Like, this nigga sounds like he's making this whole story up. Now, do I think that there's some rotten BBLs out there that might be like, you need to see a doctor because there's flesh being ate away from underneath the shots you got? Absolutely, I think that's a thing. But do I think you turned down the pussy of a bitch with a bad BBL? I don't think you did, bro. I don't think you did. I think niggas be lying.
So I don't believe the story happened the way that he's, you know, kind of.
He's definitely spicing up the story, right?
Yeah, kind of portraying the story to happen, right? But like,
it's too much sour cream on the story, bro.
And again, I haven't experienced this, so I can't speak from experience, right? But like,
would you put yourself in his shoes?
Would you not stop a chick who's slanging around some funk? Like, especially if you think you about to put some of this funk on me, like, am I supposed to deal with the funk? Because, right, the first thing that I imagined when I heard the story was you. I imagined you laying on the bed, and then a bitch started popping, and then you sucked your teeth, and you rolled your eyes. Because
you know I hate twerking, right?
Because you hate twerking.
Okay, all right.
And then it stunk on top of that, so you really had no problem telling the bitch, like, hey, babe,
I'll be honest.
Not only do
with
I want you to stop, but like it's stinking here.
Are we telling the truth?
Of course.
If this was me, of course, we got to omit that I'm married, father with kids, and all of that. I'm single out here and I'm fucking bitches with BBLs, right? Like, let's make that my life for the sake of conversation. I'm at the bitch house. I'm in the bitch apartment. She done went and changed clothes to start shaking ass for me because she thinks I like ass shaking. Right, I'm already thinking to myself, like, I've not made my personality clear enough. I'm walking you through the decision. I'm already thinking to myself how I have somehow miserably failed in making her understand what kind of person I am to make her even think that I want a twerk session in the middle of her.
No, even if she's clear, she got it. You
just now she want to do it.
Yeah,
I don't think, because I'm bad with awkward situations, I don't think I can stop her. I think I let her finish the dance now. If you're asking me if I'm still, like, fucking her through, it depends on, like, what is the smell we're talking about? Is it, like, rotten flesh? Or is it, like, you didn't wipe your ass?
According to what Stupid Man was saying in the video was that basically she got this BBL, and because she got this BBL after 30 years of her life or however much time it has elapsed, she's still wiping the way that she used to wipe him without having all the ass. So that means she ain't getting the crevices right. Yeah, she ain't hitting the crevices right. It's basically the way that he kind of, you know, ran the story.
If it smell like doo-doo, I got to figure a way out of this. Like, I got to figure a way out of this. I think, like, maybe I even, like, chill and, like, watch some Office episodes and don't leave her right away so she don't think I'm grossed out. But then I definitely swerve the second.
Yeah, I've never experienced bad backshot wind, right? So, again, I cannot relate to what's going on here. I've never, like, been dealing with a chick so bad that I'm beaten, and it's like, again, you should have this, you should catch these indications way prior to, like, sticking your dick in something.
Well, bitches not take showers before they change their clothes anymore? Is that not a thing where it's like,
we just went
to dinner, I got back home, I'm about to put on something sexy. Shouldn't I freshen up and shower first before I put the sexy thing on?
I would prefer it, you know what I'm saying? I'm a real player. I've done that to bitches before where I, like, you know, I go fishing in the moment.
Let me watch my balls real quick.
I go fishing in the moment and I catch them, and, like, respectfully, they'd be like, oh, but I've been running around all day. Hey, girl, so guess
I got you.
Guess what I got? A shower and towels and soap, and I got everything.
We got time.
Like,
I'm gonna roll up anyway. You probably hit him with that. I'm gonna be in here rolling up. Like, here's the towel. You hand her the towel. I'm gonna be in here rolling up, and I'll be ready to smoke.
And again, like, I like to give the same courtesy, right? Like, you go, I'm gonna roll up. Like,
and then
if you want to, you can start smoking. You go in on me, but I'm gonna go jump in the shower too.
Let's
like,
shower.
We're gonna have fresh vag. We're gonna have fresh balls. That way, we can get nasty, nasty.
Yeah, like, I can put my mouth on you.
Yeah,
don't you want me to put my mouth on you?
It's always my idea, whatever is going on, right? So, like, that's what I would expect, and I would totally expect a chick to be way more conscious of that than me having to tell her, like. That has to be a complete, and he, for real, he nasty. Like, if you gotta, like, it's one thing to, like, have to suggest it, because, again, I want to get nasty, girl. I want to put my mouth on you. Like,
I put my mouth on
one
you.
One thing to suggest it versus having to tell a bitch, maybe you should go get in the shower. Like, that there's a difference there.
Okay, let's pull back up to Red Lobster real quick, right? I forgot to say this part of the story, and then we'll move on. Before, when I did my tip and I wrote it down and I handed the book back and we was almost ready to leave, a family of four was walking towards us to come sit down to start their endless trip journey. That's right, start their journey. But, and this is not me being mean. Again, you know me, bro. I'll be trying to be careful of not being like, oh, bro, now this nigga forgot where he came from. Now all of a sudden he's Slim Jim Workout Man. He would have dissed every fat nigga you see. But this family was particularly obese. And when I say particularly obese, I mean, like, we all fat. We're Americans. Mm-hmm. We're all fat. But then there's, like, there's fat and then there's noticeably obese. Like, you move different from regular people. Like, you walk sideways, but you're still facing me kind of big. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. Yeah.
And it was a whole family of really, really big. The dude, the dad was so big that he had, and I don't know how this correlates, but I think you'll understand how sick my mind is. The dad was so big, he had an old school pipe in his mouth, like a cork pipe. Like from the cartoons, he had a pipe in his mouth. He was walking back from the car.
Throwback fat.
Yeah, so he was walking in sideways to come sit down. And I already knew they was all about to order endless shrimp, and it was going to have shrimp all over the place. Now, I wasn't judging him because I was there for endless shrimp too, right? Like, I'm not no better than him. But where I did start judging him was their teenage son, who was probably the second biggest out of the family, the dad, then the son, then the mom, then the daughter. In big order.
He got rank.
Yeah, he has second to best rank in fatness. he came around me and he swiveled to where his back was facing me, and you're about to hear why I remembered to bring it up. He swiveled around to where his back was facing me to pull his chair out, and I caught a whiff of everything he missed,
oh,
bro.
My God.
Now, I'm not saying dudes smell like straight shit, but it was not definitely a shit sweat mixture. And you know sweat that comes from your brow from being at the gym or playing three games of basketball or even fucking too hard, right? Sweat that comes off your forehead from fucking too hard does not smell like sweat from the crack of your ass. It's a very different smell.
It can't.
And it made me so sick, bro. Like, I went out of... And I'm only bringing it up because I had just had a wonderful experience at Red Lobster. The service was great. She got me my check out fast. I was like, this was great. I'm literally saying to my wife, like, damn, this really went unexpectedly awesome. And then the dude came in and just straight wind whiffed me with all of that. And I was just like, dog, I understand being big because I've been big. I'm still big, all of that. But like, bro, like, washing your ass has to be essential, bro. Like, BBLs. Big body people, whatever is big in your acronyms, you gotta wash your ass, bro. No,
I mean, we've seen enough 600 pound life to know that these niggas ain't showering the best.
And it's
they don't start at 600 pounds.
No,
they start washing bad well before they get to 600.
Being bad at showering starts at like 200, bro. Because I mean, your wife called me out for not washing my legs some years ago, and I've been washing my legs ever since.
Shut the fuck up,
yeah, bro. It's the truth. I'm only here to tell the truth on our podcast, bro. There's a lot of men that don't wash their legs.
That's a lie on our podcast.
There's a lot of men that don't wash their legs.
How do you not? That doesn't make any sense. How do you not wash your
Because
legs?
Men think, a lot of men, not all, a lot of men think that the water that trickles down your body gets your legs clean.
That's
and I was
impossible.
Like, wait, it don't? And she was like, no, you got to wash them.
That's 1,000% impossible, buddy. Okay.
What do you mean?
Okay. You know, we're still keeping this lie up years later for the pod. I love it. Keep the lies alive.
Let's move forward since we're not fucking with that. Listen, I know what you do fuck with. Joy Taylor and Taylor Reese got a podcast.
Taylor Rooks,
thank you. Taylor and Taylor Rooks got a podcast, and they was on their podcast talking about how they believe it is a red flag in dating if a man that you're interested in has no female friends.
Mm-hmm.
Discuss.
So I did. I had to think about a statement, right? And at first, I was like, the player in me jumped out and was like, shit, I don't know who the fuck they think I am. Like, nah, you either getting taken down or nothing. But then I had to think about it that I do actually have some female friends.
You forgot about your friends.
Yeah. I had to think like,
oh, shit. But you know what? Is the word valiant or gallant? Which word am I needing to use?
Valiant.
You know what is so valiant of you? Because you're such a... Those women to you are such actual friends, and it's not like they my friends because I ain't fucked yet. They're such actual friends that you don't see them as women.
Yeah, not even thinking about it. Like, oh, shit.
In the most respectful, I know that comes off wrong, but you don't even see them as fuckable women because they're friends of yours, and you don't even see them that way.
Yeah, and like, of course, you know, they're two women saying this, right? So they're saying it like two women, so it sounds like two cats fighting in an alley, right? And you might not really be able to decipher what they're saying if you're not really listening to them, but I think that they're right. If you cannot have a relationship with a woman that is not sexual, then how do you have any other relationship? How do you have any other type of relationship with a woman that you actually are with or that you'll end up with? If everything is based around you know, the sex or the sexual energy, and you motherfuckers can't just have a how was your day conversation without dick coming to the table, then I don't really know, you know, not only how good of a person are you are, but how do you expect this relationship to thrive? Like,
and you're on the fast track to being a psychopath weirdo too, right? Like, if you can't have regular conversations with women just about things that aren't about relationships, fucking, or when we going to fuck, like, how are you going to ever be good at the other shit that like, comes in being a relationship?
And this is coming to me now, right? And I know I'm not going to get the numbers right, but even if you a old, like, fuckity fuck, super, I like to fuck nigga, and when you fuck for an hour or two, and you got the bitches who do that, right? You could probably only do that one time a day, and, like, that's still only a small percentage of
the day. So if you fuck for 2 hours, there's still 22 hours left. What are y'all doing and talking about?
But
these are the niggas that can't be in relationships, right? They can only be fuck niggas.
I mean, that's what I think makes their statement true, right? Because if you cannot...
A lot of men was jumping down their throats about it, too. And this is why I'm here to attack the manosphere this week. Usually, I'll be like on my, you know, misogyny shit. But the manosphere is kind of fucked up this week, for sure. Because they've been jumping down these women's necks for what they said. And I agree with them. I think it is a good point and something that you should be cautious of if you dating a man. Yeah. And he telling you that the only women in his life that he don't see as sexual creatures is his sister and his mom. And every other bitch is just a bitch that not to be trusted or a bitch that I ain't fucked yet. Like, dog, you don't have no women that you call your friends that you are not sexually attracted to? None? That's weird.
Well, you hit the nail on the head, because these is probably also the same types of niggas who don't want to spend every waking moment with a bitch. And not saying that you have to, but you'll be the type of nigga that like, nah,
that couldn't stand to.
But that could, there you go. That's the words I'm looking for. Couldn't stand to spend every moment with a bitch, but will say something like that and wonder why they bitch is, air quote, insecure about you being out and around other bitches. Because, nigga, you have told me out of your own mouth that you cannot deal with a woman unless you are giving out this type of energy. So, like, why should I not feel some type of way with you being out doing that?
Do you know or have heard of people that are in relationships where, like, it's kind of like the Peggy Bundy, Al Bundy type scenario where, like, you know there's love there, but they don't really rock with, like, they're not best friends. Like, we're in a relationship, but we're not best friends. Like, I really need the homies to call me and ask me to come out this weekend because I'm miserable at home with my wife and my three daughters. Like, do you know niggas like that at all, or have you heard of that?
I don't know any married people like that. I kind of used to be one of them niggas. You know what I'm saying? Back in the dating phase.
Like, get me out of here. Like, my babe is home.
Yeah, come get me. Like, or
that's
like
wild to me.
Yeah, the classic, I don't want to go home. Like, and it took somebody else to kind of point that out to me. Like, yo, you know do that this every day. Like, you know you do this every day. And I'd be like, yeah, I just be chilling. They'd be like, nah. Like, you be saying it over here that you don't want to go home. Like, damn. Oh, shit. Like. You're right, because I don't want to go home and deal with that shit. So I don't. Maybe niggas in relationships. I know niggas who do, but I don't know, because again, you shouldn't even make it. Shouldn't even make it to the marriage point if that's something that you're dealing with. If you don't want to go home, or if you like looking for reasons to get out of the house, then that's probably not the situation for you, cuz.
And I like that always makes my heart sad when I hear of any men that are in relationships like that, where like they girl ain't they safe space, right? Like, I think I've come on here and talked about it before, where I even feel bad that my wife is so much of my safe space. You know what I'm saying? Like, because just in a way that I think that's a little bit unfair to her to be tasked with being my safety. You know, so like she's all of my safety. If me and her beef and I can't go to my mom's house and complain about my wife, you know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta wait till my wife ain't mad no more so I can complain about her to her. Like, you know what I'm saying? I can only complain to my wife about things my wife have done to my wife once down the line after we good enough to talk about it now. Which to me is dope. That ain't me like trying to complain about it. To me, that's dope. But also, I do think that that's rare. I don't think every relationship is that way. I think a lot of relationships, like, I'm sick of my babe, I'm about to go over to my girl cousin's house and talk about my babe to my girl cousin or my mom or some shit. And I was about to see
where most niggas fuck that process up is because they have, like, you can just go to the other place and just be in the other place without having to discuss why I'm here right now or whatever the fuck. You can just go and be to kind of get your headspace clear.
Yeah, bro,
right?
Just because drink your Sprite cranberry and stop talking to me about what's going on at home.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, that's really all that you need, right? You need to get out of the environment where that issue kind of exists, and you need to be able to, like, see clearly and maybe look at it from an outside view and, like, you need the headspace. And like, again, that's where niggas go wrong. Like, you go over there and you get the run of your mouth, which now gives these people opportunity to form an opinion about your situation or whatever you got going on. And like, I think that's the thing that I've become good at over the, and again, you get it from dealing with the situations that you've dealt with throughout your life. But I don't think there's a soul on earth right now who could tell me if there was anything to tell you about me and my wife. Like, mm-hmm. You listen to this podcast, you might be able to, pick up some things.
You know some shit, but you only really know so much. But
nobody, like, I consciously do not, like, even if I'm, dealing with something or whatever, I consciously do not go to people. And that's, or like I tell my wife, and I don't want to tell her myself, but like, I will do it here on this pod. I do it to you all the time. And I don't think you recognize when I'm doing it. Sometimes you do, but sometimes I don't think you notice when I'm doing it. And I just tell them, I'll be like, all right, cool. And we'll move on. And I'll get whatever I need from that. And we'll just let it ride. But like, you'll never catch me like, oh, I need to go on a walk so I can like talk shit about my wife for 45 minutes. Like, yeah, first of all, nothing is that deep to, and it comes from a, it comes from a mindset of when I wasn't so covered in the blood of Jesus, right?
There you go. Let's talk about when we was fucked, niggas.
Yeah, when I was fucked. It was when I wasn't so right, when I was, and I might have done that. Like, hey, I got a girl, but now I'm over here like, man, yeah. She be X, Y, and Z. And like, you don't do nothing but make the other babe feel good. That's honestly all that it does. And you give people ammo. You give people the opportunity to formulate their own opinions about shit. And it affects the dynamics of, whatever you got going on for real. So like, shut your fucking mouth, fam, and deal with your own shit on your own.
Now, I hear where you at with minding your business and keeping home business at home, right? Mm-mm. But elaborate for me on where you are about, obviously you wouldn't do this, but tell me how strongly you feel about the idea of being in a relationship with a chick, having an issue, and then going to tell another chick about your issue with your girl. Now, whether this be your home girl, a chick you used to fuck, mm-hmm. a chick that you just think is attractive, that's like your coworker or some shit, like, how egregious in your mind is that about talking about your babe that you're currently in relationship with to some chick that might even be competition to your chick, or at least in her mind?
That's a flag on the play. That's flagrant, what I was saying, right? Like, yeah, you should, because again, you're not doing nothing but giving, no matter what relationship you think you got with whoever, like, it's hard to unhear stuff, right? So like, even when they go through court cases and somebody say something in the motherfucking courtroom and the judge be like, hey, strike that from the record. Y'all didn't hear that.
Right, you can't unhear it. Yes, I did. Yeah.
I cannot unhear. Like, I hear what you told me. You
can redact it, but I can't unhear it.
Yeah, I cannot unhear it. And like, that, given the situation, right? Given how the stars align, how whatever happens that day, like, you could be put into a position where, again, maybe the information that you shared ain't that deep, right? But because of the way that it was presented, now I know you out here, like, you out here doing a thing that's painting me in a certain light that might not be true, but like, you doing dumb shit, you doing sneaky shit behind my back, and that's just not the wave. That reveals much more than maybe what you actually told a person by the fact that you like went here and told her. So now this bitch is able to throw this shit in my face, and it's like, bitch, I don't even know you. How do you even know this?
Why'd you give her
like,
that?
Why'd you even give her that? So like that's some shit that I had to, and not, I don't even think it happened to me, but like, I've just been a progressive thinker my entire life, right? So, like,
there are
some lessons that I've had to learn the hard way, but there are some things that I've actually sat back and thought about and, like, yeah, that's probably not the thing to do. So, like, again, when I wasn't so covered in the blood of Jesus and I'm, out here moving, you have chicks who will try and, like, coax this information out of you. And you gotta be a stronger individual.
Even if they don't want you, they just want the information because it would make them feel good to have a one up on this chick over here.
100%. So like, you gotta feel that out. And like, there's nothing nobody could ever come to the table and be like, oh yeah, because this nigga said you. Like, you'll
never have that, bro. Can I tell you about a super fly moment that me and my wife had while we was watching fucking Love Is Blind the other day, bro? Because like, we always use these as talk pieces, as y'all know. Like, we pause 100 times. To talk about everything that's going on the screen. AD is a goofball. All y'all niggas is goofballs. There's only one good couple on the show, but we can discuss it at another time.
AD is a goofball, or Clay is a goofball?
Clay is a super goofball, but AD is still a goofball. Clay is just a super goof.
I'd be interested to hear how AD is a goofball.
Yeah, me and you have to break it down at some point, but AD is definitely a fucking goof. But, okay. We was talking about a situation on Love is Blind where, like, the girl Chelsea, the fake Megan Fox chick, is super insecure, right? We've made it far enough in the season to realize how super insecure this chick is and damaged she is. Broken.
Just side, keep your statement, right? But, like, I hated Jimmy's move when I watched it in real time, right? But because of what Clay did, I respected Jimmy's move way more.
Okay, okay. Bro, we have to really discuss this, bro, because there's a lot of content here for us to break down.
Please continue.
So we started talking about how the Chelsea chick and her, Jimmy's her guy, right? Jimmy and how they was having one of their arguments. And it was kind of conveyed from her to her fiance that you basically didn't make me feel loved today. You didn't make me feel like I was the only woman in the world today. You made me feel insecure. I already have issues with it. This wasn't her saying it outright. I wish she would have, but she was like roundabout saying these things, right? Like how he didn't help her with her insecurities and she don't want to be loved like this. And she basically was telling him everything that was wrong, but didn't tell him not one thing he could do to make it right. Right. So we was in one of our pause sessions where me and my wife was discussing it, and I was explaining to her from a man's perspective how torturous that is that we go through that, right? Like, sometimes we go through that where it's like, your babe is telling you how you ain't loving her right, potentially, or you might not be doing something right, or maybe you haven't opened the car door for her in a long time, that kind of vibe of shit, right? Mm-hmm. But not giving you the instruction manual on how you're supposed to do the things to make her feel the way she wants to feel, right? Because even if she says something in the midst of the argument, me and my wife were saying, like, even if she says something in the midst of the argument, like, when was the last time you bought me flowers? And then you realize, oh shit, it has been a long time since I bought you flowers, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say that that is the vacuum of what we're discussing right now. Just that you haven't bought me flowers and you know I like to be bought flowers. And you used to buy me flowers, but you stopped doing it and it's been a long time since you've just bought me flowers, right? What, it, as a man, this is man think now. What's even the time period that I can buy you flowers now without you going, yeah, but you bought them because I was bitching at you about it.
Right.
And keeping that in mind, every day and week that goes by that I don't buy you flowers because I'm avoiding that is just another day I didn't buy you flowers.
Right.
So no, that's a fucked up conundrum to put a man or even a person in general in. Like, you're telling me there's a problem, but you're also literally actively avoiding me being able to solve the problem. Because again, if you're complaining about me buying you flowers spontaneously, well, now you've taken the spontaneity away from it. And if I bought you flowers next weekend, you go, oh, nigga, you just doing this because I was bitching at you last week about you buying me flowers, but thank you.
I mean, but, like, that's not the wrong answer either, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's where you got to discover that somebody is just dissatisfied with themselves in some shape, form, or fashion. Because
that's where we ended up, too.
Yes, you are correct. I may have been slacking on buying you some flowers, and you did the right thing. You communicated this to me that this was a problem to you. So, like, I didn't run out the next day and, like, buy you flowers because that would have been corny. But, like, maybe you had a rough day at work. And maybe as a man, I think that's how you got to play it, right? Like, you got to, at that point, then you kind of got to play it by ear to figure out the next best time to do it after the time she communicated it. But then maybe from that point, you do got to kind of, like, set a reminder in your phone.
But hear what you're saying, though? Like, now we got to turn into detectives and shit. Not saying this is a complaint. I'm just saying what's happening.
No, but and this is a perfect thing to bring up for, you know, kind of Love is Blind, right? Like, these people have come here to circumvent the work. That is a part of the work.
Okay.
Because that's something that you may have to deal with in the first 1 to 2 to 3 years, right? Yep. Like, you may have to learn, like, oh, and you know, niggas is dumb, right? Like, niggas,
they did you a favor by cutting the crust off that sandwich.
Yeah, but niggas is stupid, right? Because we think, man, these are some dumb ass flowers. Like, these motherfuckers die every, like, they can't meet, and, like, we just don't have the feelings of a woman, right? We do not get it. And I think men have to look past that sometimes, right? Like,
I agree.
Just go and buy the fucking flowers, dog. Apparently it does something to her that you can just not understand, but, like, it's a part of. So even if you have to, again, even if you got to add it to your motherfucking calendar every 6 weeks to buy this bitch flowers, because that's going to keep her on the up.
Just put it in your calendar.
You have to do what you got to do, because that's a part of the, and it's all about the person that you chose, dog. Like, she liked flowers. Like, go buy the bitch flowers, fam. Pick, not be corny. go pick a flower on the way home. My nigga. Like, you got to start thinking about stupid shit like that. Just like, don't keep coming in here with the Floweramas, bro. Like, pull some weeds up out of somebody's yard, my nigga, and be like, hey, girl, these ones reminded me of you today. Like,
fucking film yourself stealing them out the neighbor's yard. Like, I got her.
100%. Like, I did that.
And see, what I thought was so dope about our moment that we had, too, was my wife consciously was like, have I ever done that to you? And I kept it funky with her. When we watch these reality shows, it's our opportunity to keep it funky with each other. And I told her, I was like, yeah. You know, it was in our 20s and 30s type shit. It was a while ago. But yeah, like, you certainly made me feel like that in our relationship where, like, you know, you're telling me that I'm not doing enough, but I also don't know what you want me to do. And it was a stressful time in our relationship for sure. Now, we've been together for fucking 25 plus years. Like, if I sat here and acted like we never had moments like that, I'd be lying to y'all and doing all y'all a disservice. So obviously we've been through shit. You know what I'm saying? Right. But I was telling her, like, it's dope that we can sit here and I can talk to you about that and not make you feel like I'm just waiting on an opportunity to make you pay for it again and smush your face in it. Like, yeah, you made me feel bad back in 06, bitch. What's wrong with you? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, that's not the point of this at all. Because we were young then and we did young shit.
And sometimes learning comes along with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it might have been a sucky situation to go through, but you learned something while you was in that shit, and you carried it with you through the next 25 years. Yeah. So it's okay. Like, it's all right. Like, and even like this extends beyond relationships with a significant other, right? This could be between your brothers, your sisters, your parents. Like, there could be things that you want to do for them that you recognize that you haven't done for whatever reason, right? And like, sometimes a gift is the acknowledgement of that to that person.
Yeah.
You can be like, hey, I recognize that I have not done this like I should be doing, but my intent moving forward is to do the, you know, is to do better.
Or at least move in the right direction, yeah.
Move in the right direction. I just want to do better. Like, so always know that, and I'm trying to do the right thing. Like, don't ever think that this is non-existent or this is lackluster because I'm doing it on purpose. Like, shit be going on. Like, shit should be going. But also, you know, particularly bringing it back into the, you know, significant others, like, you also gotta, like, rein yourself in. Like, you know what I'm saying? We gotta rein ourselves in as a duo, but you also gotta rein yourself individually to make sure.
As part of the duo.
Yeah, as you had to rein yourself in to make sure that you can be an adequate part of the duo.
Yeah, because we was having a long talk about the self-esteem thing, too, about the chick from Love is Blind and Chelsea, and we'll make this broader for y'all. Those of y'all that don't watch, because this is a broader conversation, like, she's got a lot of insecurity issues and self-esteem issues, and, like, every chick that ever walks in every room has been some sort of physical threat to her, right? Like, she's sad every time a chick that has her hair done walks in a room, and then projects that onto her fiancé-to-be about her insecurities, and it always ends up in her drinking and arguing with the nigga about how he didn't make her feel secure in the relationship because he looked at a bitch or talked to this bitch, or because he's got two female best friends and he fucked one of them. Like, well, this is all shit that's in the person you chose. Now, you fucking one of your female best friends is not super defendable.
And when we sat down and watched that episode, I told my wife in real time. I said, oh, yeah, he hit the little one. She was like, what you mean? I said, are you not watching the two of them?
How did I pick that up? I heard him. They didn't even say it, and I heard him.
Yeah, I said, are you not watching the two of them right now? So then when it came, you know, the next episode or a couple scenes later, when she was like, and you told me you fucked her. I was like, there it goes, babe. I said they skated over it in real time. I said, but 100%. I said, and like that, but that's the bullshit of a woman too, right? Because you'll go and you'll sit at that dinner and you'll kiki and you'll, oh, I love y'all.
I knew y'all was my homegirls when you said that, to ask me what I was wearing. I already knew you was going to be my girl. You cannot tell those lies in real time and get home and argue with me about how these bitches is threatening me. You're like, you just told me you like them hoes. Like, what you want me to do?
You blood them hoes in front of them hoes, and now you want me to go back and be the bad guy in front of the hoes.
Yeah, like you just told me you love them hoes. Nigga, I thought we was good. Like, we planned a cookout.
It was sick, bro. Like, I for a second I almost called you and was like, bro, do we need to be the official Love is Blind podcast?
We could really,
like,
do a YouTube channel and just break every episode down. And you know what, I want to credit my wife right here too. And any chick that I've ever known that she didn't like, she has never, like, piddled around with it. She just has told me, and that ain't a lot of times. Like, my wife usually gets along with women 80%+ of the time, but the few times that she is like, I don't like her, she's just made it clear right away. Like, I don't rock with
But you want to know what? And maybe you can relate to me on this. And I don't like, I don't even know if I want to say this for real, but like, you've seen women that you are just cool with do this to other women and be right. Mm-hmm. So you can't discredit your spouse.
So hold on. Let me make sure I'm clear on what you're saying. You're saying your chick might have identified, hey, something not right about this chick, and she's right in the fact that what she didn't have the best intentions. Is that what you're saying?
Whatever it is, I don't care what it is coming off of the other chick. Like, okay, maybe she don't like her attitude. Maybe she don't like the way she talk. Maybe
she just didn't like her because she just didn't like her, and then turns out she wasn't that great.
Yes, that's what all I'm saying is that you've seen, you know, maybe you've seen your sister do this to, you know, maybe like, hey, nah, she don't got the, and like, you be like, all right, you might listen to your sister, like, all right, that's cool. And not to say that you wouldn't listen to your wife, but like, niggas always think their wife got a little hate sprinkled in there. Like, bitch, I'm the man. Like, leave me the fuck alone. Like, I know how to handle myself. Why these hoes like me? They'd be like, but nah, these bitches be right. They be right.
Yeah, they be right they sometimes. Be right. But right. Is that back to our intuition conversation, though? Is that intuition, or are they just picking up on character vibes that they don't know how to articulate?
I think it's vibes, because like I just said, you watched old boy and the two bitches sit at the table, and you could see it just from watching the conversation. Without any of those words being spoken, you was like...
All right, I'm asking you directly. Is vibes the same as intuition, or are they different, those two things? Vibes and intuition, same thing or different thing?
Yeah, I think it's different. I think intuition sometimes come without vibes.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? That's like what intuition, makes them different. Intuition can come just from information. Like, you can come and be like, hey, babe, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And her intuition could tell her, no, yeah.
I don't think that's intuition either, though. Me and my wife be having this argument. If you have any information that helps you decide something, to me, that's not intuition. To me, that's you, like, clues or information to make a determination.
Well because I think intuition factors into how bitches treat, and I don't want to say bitches, I'm sorry, but like how women treat men, right? Uh-huh. Women bank on men in their routine. And I don't even want to say, let me share a story with you, but like, my wife bought, I think I shared it here on, like, my wife bought me a toolbox, you know what I'm saying? Like a legit tool, like this motherfucking box that they came. This bitch was like 60, 75 pounds. Like, or matter of fact, it was Father's Day when she gave it to me. She bought me a hedge trimmer and she bought me the toolbox, fam. And like, when I came down, I got the toolbox and I got to lift in the toolbox and seeing how heavy it was. Like, after I got it open, I was excited. Shit, I turned to it, I said, where the fuck was this at?
Who told you to buy this?
No, where the fuck was this at? Who moved this around the house?
Yeah, how did you get in here?
This is heavy. And my wife just looked at me and she said, I just bank on you being you all the time, babe. And like, that's me on routine and minding my business. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's a part of it. So because I'm so like, if I tell my wife, you know, something that just, again, you allowed to have one off because shit happened. Like, but like, if you are just such a particular, if you are such a routine person and now something like just left field comes, like you can have information that might jumpstart your intuition. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But like, I think the vibes when you've been able to witness and like add some plus signs and some parentheses and some of
now you're doing long math.
Yeah, hell yeah, you can add some shit to the equation.
Okay, that's fair enough. Let's talk bad about women some more. Just Larry's Chico Bean, did you peep?
I did.
All right, so those of y'all that don't know, Jess Hilarious is a B-shelf comedian. Chico Bean is a C-shelf comedian. This might be an
intuition versus vibes type of situation.
You see why I went here, right?
You might be right here.
So these are two internet famous comedians that have real careers. I don't want to be dismissive. Mm-hmm. They both have real careers, but they come from the internet. Chico Bean's on Wild & Out. Jess Hilarious is now on Breakfast Club. So they're both doing very well for themselves. And Chico Bean was on The Breakfast Club recently and was on there with Jess Hilarious. And somehow they got on the topic of Jess Hilarious was romantically interested in dating Chico Bean at one point in their early points of their career. Which, go ahead.
Let's pause. Shout out to Jess Hilarious for like putting that out there unprompted. Like nobody even asked nothing. And she was just basically like, yeah.
Hey, yeah, and I was trying to throw you some pussy. What's up with that?
Yeah, I kind of fuck with that a little bit.
I kind of fuck with that too. And
I fuck with her like putting it out there and being accurate, because Chico wasn't like, nah, you wasn't trying to throw me no pussy, you was playing. He was like, yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah.
So I want to walk through what happened here because I find it interesting, right? So apparently what was happening was Jess Hilarious was interested in Chico Bean from the Wildin' Out cast. They was backstage on some shit and she was peeping Chico's style and she was even expressing vocally how, I like the style. He was quiet. He wasn't loud and all over the place like a lot of niggas is. And mm-hmm. you could tell that he got his shit together. He really liked low key. And that's part of what attracted her to him. And she was saying mm-hmm. like, you know, he funny and he charismatic, but he ain't like gotta be the loudest in the room all the time. And I was really right. feeling that and feeling him for that and shit like that. And she was like, she tried the easy way to throw in some pussy, like, hey, you know, what's up with you and me and this, that, and tried the easy way. Right. And he never hit her back. So she kind of took a little lump where you could tell she wasn't really happy about taking her lump, but she took her little lump, circled the block, and next time they ran into each other, threw it to him a little bit more aggressively now. And this time the conversation kind of went like, well, don't you got a dude? And she was like, no. And he was like, And then I guess doubled back and found out that she did in fact have a dude. So Chico still didn't fuck with her. And she took offense to that because she didn't know that he knew that she had a dude. But as they was talking about it on the Breakfast Club and out loud, mm-hmm. it was revealed that Chico found out she actually did have a dude when she said she didn't have a dude, which is why mm-hmm. he didn't hit her back. And she was like, oh, well, nigga, what is you, gay or some shit? And like, why you wouldn't just fuck me knowing I have a nigga? And Chico's like, see there?
Yeah.
I'm not from that. I don't come from that. Niggas will kill you over they bitch. And niggas I really am like, now, I like Jess Hilarious. I think she's funny. Now, would I fuck her? I'm not necessarily saying that. But if Jess Hilarious was Chico's type, if I'm Chico Bean and Jess Hilarious is my type, am I willing to risk this nigga and how he might respond to trying to fuck Jess Hilarious? I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm going to compromise all of what could potentially go into this situation just to fuck Jess Hilarious. I just don't know. I think I'm with Chico on this. And I think it was a little bit out of pocket for her to, like, respond in that way. Even though I like Jess, I like her forwardness, but this was a little out of pocket.
When I tell you Chico Bean was 1 million percent right, he was 1 million percent right. Because you can go back, you can read most historical books, you can watch most of every movie out there from Hollywood.
It's always about a bitch.
It's always about a bitch, big dog. You know what I'm saying? And a bitch will get you killed. Mm-hmm. So, like, from my understanding, she tried to throw the nigga some pussy. He was like, hey, you got a nigga? And she was like, yeah, I got a nigga, but he ain't like that. And Chico was like, nah, that's when niggas get like that. That's about their bitch. Like, nah, we not gonna do it.
I am not like that. I'm not built like that. I don't come like that. I don't come from that.
I told y'all.
I'm not a fighter. I'm scared of fights, and I'm unconfrontational. But about my wife, niggas, she's been there. I'll get out of character about it.
I told y'all 100 episodes ago I couldn't give her back to the streets. I said that, and I meant
that. And I mean that. I'm not like that. And she might even got it fucked up. I don't know how my wife thinks of me when it comes to, like, these hands or if she think I can fight. And I've never even asked her. Like, I've never asked my wife directly, like, you think I can fight? Like, I don't know if she knows if I can or not. But I'll tell you this, it don't matter. Because I'm going to figure something out.
If you need to see him, let this happen. And I bet you'll see him come out.
Yeah.
But so then that's when she tried to spin the block and he was like, you still got a nigga? And she was like, nah, but she was lying. And he was still like, yeah, nah. Cause again, the right, and particularly, I don't know if you picked up the piece that he said, he was like, but I'm up front with these babes and I tell them, like, you ain't the only one. Mm-hmm. Like, I got a whole lot of situations going on out here.
It's a lot moving around. Like,
he said, you didn't look like you was ready for that on top of having a nigga. Right. So, like, Chico gets player of the year.
That's all bad math. That's all bad math.
Yeah, Chico gets player of the year awards. And what was particularly funny about me is they asked him how she tried to, you know, throw him some pussy. And he was like, oh, she just invited me over for crab
legs. He was trying to keep it cool.
Like, that was, like, that's so player of Chico to do that. So, like, again, back to what I said, it's always about a bitch, dog. So, like, in order to protect yourself at all times outside under the streetlights, you got to make good decisions.
I like niggas like that, man. Chico Bean in that moment reminded me of Stefan. Like, Stefan is that kind of nigga.
Stefan don't need
the lights to be on to 100%. Be a real nigga. He's a real nigga when it's just you and him. He's a real nigga when it's you, him, and 30,000. Like, yeah, he's a real nigga around the clock. Chico Bean, to me, strikes me as a real nigga around the clock. He don't need an audience to be a real nigga.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I fuck with that. Also, some real nigga shit kind of came. Well, this might be pseudo. This might be anti-real nigga shit. I want to know how you think about this. Apparently, Mike Epps also came in under fire the last week or so. Okay. Mike Epps is married. He's got a wife and all of that. And he had made a statement. I don't know if it was on a podcast or on stage or whatever.
It was on All the Smoke with Steven Jackson.
Okay, yeah. He made a statement, and the statement goes as follows. He said, I have never treated a woman 100% right. Never. No woman he's ever been with has he treated 100% right. And the internet and social media made him feel bad to the point where he publicly apologized to his wife for saying that. And to me, now, Mike Epps and his wife, how I don't know their life. Just like you said, nobody knows right. you and your wife's life. I don't know their life, so I can't sit here and fully judge and say, nigga, why would you say that? But I am curious as to what might have made him feel like he needed to apologize publicly for saying a statement that he obviously felt was true. Because I'll be honest with you. Me and my wife, I love my wife to death. She's my favorite person in the whole wide world. Would I tell somebody that I've treated Donovan 100% right in the entirety of our relationship? Absolutely not. Because we're not perfect as people, bro. Yeah, like, what you mean? Yeah, like, nobody has treated anybody 100% right. Like, I don't understand the apology, honestly.
Yeah, no. I think in the context of the conversation, right, which I think was maybe just a little bit missing from the clips that went around, but he was kind of in the midst of basically, like, talking about, like, hey, I've had a whole bunch of daughters because I haven't treated women right. And the piece about his wife kind of came on the tail end after he was like, that's why I had all these daughters, because I ain't treated women right. You know, I've never treated women right my whole life. And I think it just... And I don't know how long they've been married, right? They could be double digit 12, 15 years married right now. And you have now painted the picture to the entire world that I've stuck around with you and you haven't treated me right. It just doesn't make them look good. So, of course, he probably just caught the fire when he walked back through the door. Like, nigga, what the fuck you mean? You ain't never treated me 100% right, where you got to get out there and make it clear.
Explain.
Like,
hey, give me an example of what you did that wasn't right. Yeah,
you got to explain yourself. Hey,
you ever do that in conversations with your wife where you like say some shit and you like, you meant to give 67% truth, but you accidentally gave 76% truth. And then now you're like, what the fuck was I saying?
And he probably could have cleared himself had he added one more sentence to a statement that, hey, I never treated a woman right in my life until I got with my wife. Like, if he would have expounded, like, hey, it took me a couple years, like, he could have joked himself into it. Like, it took me about 5 years to get it right with her, too. But, like, I've been on the up and ups for the last couple of years, and that's why I'm in the position that I'm in now to do X, Y, and Z. Like, not that he told on himself, but I appreciate that about Mike Epps, because that's what I get from him a lot of times when I look at him. Mike just be shooting from the hip.
He just be being Mike Epps, bro. He's not a scheduled comedian.
He's not doing nothing different than what me and you are sitting here doing right now, right? Like, I might shoot some shit from the hip that I think is fire. And he even said that about the whole Shannon Sharp shit when he was on stage. He was like, looking back on it, I went too far. But I'm in my element. I'm in my mode. Like, I'm just going. I'm going and I'm going. And, like, I can understand
that. I think your example of doing this podcast is the perfect example, because I think a few weeks ago when we were talking about the whole thing with my daughter and the B word and all of that, like, I started to kind of go into that with that conversation about, like, but to me it also... To me, it always kind of feels like you're trying to shoot yourself some bail when it's really just the truth, right? Like, I don't want it to come off like I'm trying to excuse myself for talking the way I talk and not being accountable for what I say on here. But also, I do be wanting people to realize sometimes that it's hard to talk for an hour and a half, be interesting, and not fuck up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want me to keep your interest for an hour and a half and not say nothing wrong in an hour and a half. Like, you know how hard that is, bro? Like, you just want me to just ramble for an hour and a half and not get nothing wrong?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is a weekly 90-minute freestyle. That's why I said I was better than Skills with the year-end wrap-up. Like, dog, I do this for 90 minutes every week. No notes.
We don't edit nothing, bro. Like, we fade the music in and out. That's it.
And that's it. Like, I don't think people truly, truly understand that. Like, even coming, you know, even watching the JBP, like, they got edits in there. Like, they got whiteboards where we don't do none of that over here. Not to say that we better than them or nothing.
No, we're better.
Like, we keep it authentic, right? This is us again, like, the way that we started this podcast is turning on these mics and I'm talking to my friend for 90 minutes every week. We're just talking about shit that's going on outside that we don't talk about on the phone. Like, but this is I am saying what I think in real time. And again, like you say, the clip about the dude, about the bitch with the BBL, like, I when I watch these things, I don't even think about podcasts when I watch
them. You don't even be thinking that it's going to be on the list. Every time you're like, this nigga got it on the list.
I truly don't. Or this last shit that we just talked about, like Just Hilarious and Chico Bean, I seen it. I don't expect us to talk. And that's credit to you and being a good host and the creator of the show, right? Because, like, you know how to spin this shit into something that we could talk about and something that we could take a little bit deeper. But, like, this nigga don't send me a list of shit to watch every fucking week to make sure I'm up to date on what's going on. Like, either I seen it and we could talk about it, or I didn't and he gonna explain it to me and we can talk about it.
Not even freestyle, though. Bro, what's not going to be a 90-minute freestyle, unfortunately, is this Mike Tyson and Jake Paul fight, dog. Like, this is going to be the most scripted shit. Like, I left this for the end of the show intentionally because there's not much here to talk about. Mike Tyson at 57 is going to, quote-unquote, fight Jake Paul at 27. I'm not going to – it's on Netflix, so I ain't going to say I ain't going to watch it. I am going to look at it.
I'm
going to
watch.
But to me, I just find it fascinating that some people get so involved in these type of events that they think Mike Tyson is actually going to fight Jake Paul. Mike Tyson is not – I don't give a fuck how many clips he puts on his Instagram page of him smacking the fuck out the heavy bag. He's not going to hit Jake Paul like that, guys. He's not going to hit – and Jake Paul ain't going to hit him like that. Because I know Iron Mike is still Iron Mike, and he can still floor a nigga if he had to or needed to. But if y'all think them niggas really had to actually fight, if y'all don't think Jake Paul at 27 years old couldn't catch Mike Tyson with a hit he wouldn't want to catch, y'all are sadly mistaken. I know we can't have a real discussion about this because they ain't really going to fight. But at 27, Jake Paul could hit Mike Tyson with some shit he wasn't intending on feeling, is all I'm saying.
I agree, and like this, I haven't wrapped my brain around this one in totality yet, right? Like,
there's nothing to wrap.
I don't quite understand why this is happening outside of name recognition at this point, mm-hmm. because Mike is Mike, and like Jake has worked himself into a name that, you know, kind of, you know, has a draw to it.
He deserves the fight, honestly. Jake Paul does, from just what he's built for his brand.
I mean, I guess for my issue with Jake Paul is that if you want to be a real boxer, stop doing these exhibitions.
I don't think he wants to be a real boxer. I think that's why we're doing this.
So stop this.
This is what he wants to be, though. I think he wants to be somewhere in between a semi-pro amateur boxer that has to keep his license updated year to year, and a sideshow, what would you call it? Like a celebrity claymation MTV.
So like starting,
he wants to be somewhere in between the two of those.
So do celebrity boxing, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like find another avenue, but like stop teetering the lines of official boxing. And because, you know, somebody else kind of said this, but like anytime that I see an exhibition fight, I think about choreography, and mm-hmm. not particularly choreography in the sense of, hey, let's learn the steps, but like, hey, this is what's
wrestling. Like on the set of a movie. Like on the set, like Jet Li on the set of a movie or something.
Wrestling. This is what's supposed to happen in whatever point in time in the fight that is supposed to happen, and mm-hmm. this is how the fight ends. Yeah. Like, and that's how we get to the end of this exhibition. Everybody gets paid, nobody gets hurt, everybody's happy and successful moving.
And that's what this is about to be, right? Everybody's about to just get paid, everybody get their check, everybody go home all right. And there might be two or three punches that gets us to wake up and stop looking at the Doritos bag, but that's about it.
Yeah, like, and again, like where anywhere else in the world would you want to see a 57-year-old fight a 27-year-old?
That's a good question. Where? I don't know if any other 57-year-old that I want to fight like a 27-year-old.
Even an in-shape, you know, well-balanced 57-year-old, like, where do you, like, you don't want to see it in the grocery store. You don't want to see it in the parking lot over a parking space. You don't want to see it at the rock climbing place. You don't want to see it at the trampolines. Like, you don't want to see that 30-year age gap fight in no shape, form, or fashion. Like, so what are we, and again, I'm with you. I'm going to watch it, like, because I want to see what's going to happen here, but like,
why? But in real life, you don't want to see a 57-year-old fight a 27. Like, when Tory Lanez told Royce 5'9 to suck my dick, and Royce was like, all right, see you in Detroit. I was like, please, no.
Oh, God.
I don't want to see it. Yeah, that. So, that yeah. So I agree. Like, it's my point in bringing that up is it's always ugly, and it's never anything anybody wants to see, right? This has been the Dipped in Butter program. Y'all don't want to see us on YouTube. Y'all don't want us to put the visuals up. We ain't ready for it, just like y'all ain't ready for it. My name is Kat. You can check my comments out under the Dipped in Butter podcast YouTube section. And I'm going to try to chill, bro, because my opinion is not that important. And if it was that important, I'd save it for here.
I was about to say it is important. That's why we have a motherfucking show. Yeah. It's your boy, Wes No T, and all that other shit that you know me for. Just make sure you fuck with me, though.
Yes, sir. Like I say, each and every week, the universe is way too big for your little ass problems. And the Wild and Out set is way too big and full of people for you to fixate on one person, bro. If Chico don't like you, just move around.
Move the fuck around. Rule number one, tell a friend and tell a friend, not only about the podcast, but that I had a revelation on this podcast is that the restaurants are just making us pay to wait, man. We got to come up with some other fucking formula. And then rule number two, mind your motherfucking business.
Yes, sir. We'll catch y'all next week.
You have officially been dipped.